now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir. For some reason, cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have to have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Thanks to the Cat.net, Coop Cooper, a big show once again as we delve into the world of easy listening orchestral pop with expert and author on the subject, Jack Crosley from New York. New release to DVD for 2009 that I'm sure you're going to love, one of my favourite films. Some news from Mr. Bongo, Jack Costanzo, and of course a look at the world of swank. Right now, Project Pimento, shot in the dark. Cocktail Nation. Music for your bachelor pad. Thanks to the cat.net on a stormy Sydney night. Scott Morhauser and Somos Las Polas. Tonight a special treat thanks to my good buddy Jack Newcastle, the cad. He managed to help me track down a man who is an author, an avid collector and historian, who is an expert on easy listening orchestral pop. Direct from New York City, I'm joined on the line by Jack Crosley. Jack, this music was incredibly popular in the mid-20th century. What happened?
It just saddened me that fell out of favor, and nowadays there's just no, except for some old people who remember it firsthand.
Mm.
There just isn't an audience for this stuff for the most part. Even people who like to listen to lounge music and all that are basically into a minimalist, people today are very minimalist oriented. Mm. They think that large orchestra, it's turned upside down, I mentioned it earlier. They think that large orchestration is cheesy and kitschy, and small, tinkly, and jazzy riffs, that's real art, that's real good stuff.
Yeah.
Like the other way around. Whereas years ago, the only reason you did something small was because you couldn't afford to do it big.
that's
nobody
true.
Bought a small car because they liked it. They bought a small car, at least in America, because they couldn't afford the big car. After America, and the Allies all won World War II, and they were on top of the world in technology and everything else. There was prosperity all over the place. People, that became television, and then color television. Movies became more technicolor, and then CinemaScope. Recordings they came up with the long-playing album with high fidelity, and then stereophonic sound. And then people were proud of their new stereophonic players, and they wanted to put stuff in there to impress their friends and create sounds just like they heard in the big movie theaters. Actually, that was Jackie Gleason's orchestra's main thing. He wanted to recreate the sounds that Clark Gable heard when he was romancing Ava Gardner in the movies. Like, you can have the same music now when you bring your date home. As for other orchestras, particularly Mantovani, he had a big hit in 1952 with a song called Charmaine. It was the first to employ that cascading string sound, which actually was created by an associate of his named, I believe, Ronnie Binge was the first creator. And that recreated the sound that choirs do have in churches and giant cathedrals, where the reverbs around the place. And created a very magical sound. And this guy recreated with strings. And they actually, I believe they originally recorded this stuff in an old, early stuff in an old church. And Mantovani would place the mics in certain places just to recreate that sound. And it was a big sensation at the time, although even then, critics lambasted it. It
really?
Sold millions, but it was considered very pop music and not, very artistic.
Mantovani was just absolutely huge. I mean, he's really the poster boy of the lush orchestral pop sound, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He originally didn't have, until that cascading sound came out, he actually had a 12-piece band.
Really?
And he played a lot of, he was considered a light orchestra.
Mm.
In England, that was popular. They would have to record the background for movie music and some light classical stuff. It was done. But then when this cascading thing came in, that's when the 40 to 60-piece orchestras started coming in with the giant string section. And they were able to do that because the fidelity got better on recordings.
Mm.
You can hear everything. And if you have a stack of old Mantovani or any old early, long-playing albums, they make a big deal about the fidelity on this album and how their fidelity was better than the other record company's fidelity. And you can hear the whole sound spectrum. Yeah, if you read the back, there's always a section that talks about the sound quality of the record.
You, like me, are a record collector, and it's funny how you come across artists, and it could be a variety of different reasons. I came across Mantovani and discovered the orchestral pop was, the way I came about it was kind of odd. I was listening years and years ago. I had this collection. It was a Cruisin' collection. It was called Cruisin' 1965, 1962. I think it went from about 55. Fantastic air checks of radio, pop radio, through the 50s and 60s and even into the 70s, I think. Anyway, there was this skit that one of the disc jockeys did on WHK, I think it was, where they tried to channel some other radio station and put them off air. It was just kind of this funny little skit. And anyway, he goes, I can't remember what the name of the radio station was, but the disc jockey goes, so if you want to listen to Mantovani at night, that's your problem. And I thought, Mantovani at night? Who's this Mantovani guy? And I looked into it, and I was like, right, this is incredible music. And once I discovered him, every time I go to a charity store, man,
There's always loads of Montalbani albums in there. For 25 cents or a dollar.
What's with
like that?
I mean, he obviously sold so many records. They're everywhere.
To this day, he's still one of the top 10 Billboard album charters of all time in albums.
Really?
Even after all these years. Yeah, if you check out like the all-time Billboard album charts, he's still in the top 10.
That's incredible.
That's how popular he was.
Well, let's through the years. Let's lead into radio, because certainly in Australia through the 60s and 70s and right into the 1980s, beautiful music radio stations were very, very common. Uh-huh. Now those radio stations are in Australia.
FM stations now, or whatever, light music stations.
Yeah.
Play Barry Manilow and... Where I am in New York, though, the stations were WRFM and WPAT, were the two beautiful music stations. And all through my childhood, I remember my grandmother, she would clean the house to this music, and she would sing. She liked it because it was instrumentals, and she could sing along.
Mm.
She knew the songs. They played the songs she knew, and it was all... years ago, it wasn't the recording that mattered. It was the song.
Yeah.
If you remember the song... The concept of having, you know, an original recording and the sound, even something like a popular as, let's say, Glenn Miller's In the Mood,
mm-hmm.
which is swing music, but people don't remember the original recording. No one could, you know, pinpoint, except an expert, what the original recording sounds like, but everyone knows the song.
Yeah.
Plus, it was more important years ago in radio for the live air checks than for the recorded song, because top 40 radio playing recordings didn't become big until, at least in this country, until the latter half of the 1950s, with the demise of live network radio playing live stuff. So, and once that came, then people were into the original sound, which in many cases couldn't be reproduced, which was a problem with the Beatles, people like that. They couldn't reproduce their sound in stadiums.
Yeah.
For the larger crowds. That was licked in the 70s, but it was actually an original problem that was created back then.
The interesting thing with these radio stations, too, is that they went to a lot of trouble to maintain this beautiful music feel, even to the point, that the style of the announcers was very, very slow, very deliberate, very calm.
Very soothing. You're listening to WRFM, music, 24 hours a day in stereo on your, 99.1 radio on your FM dial. Yeah, very, very, very lovely sounding.
Even the commercials, yeah. They actually re-recorded many of the commercials. They might be set a,
right.
Coca-Cola ad or something like that, and they'll go, no, it's too loud. It's too out there. We need to re-record this. So they go to the trouble of re-recording every single, network commercial that they got, which would have been so time-consuming. But,
yes, sir.
They really worked hard to get this sound right, and it worked, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, originally, it was all instrumentals, or you would hear large choirs like the Ray Conniff Singers, or the Norman Luboff Choir, the Johnny Mann Singers, or the Hugo and Luigi Chorus. Those are played on those light FM stations. But later on, they would sneak in the occasional, by the late 70s, you would hear the occasional Nat King Cole song, singing, or maybe Frank Sinatra.
Mm.
Or someone, Tony Bennett, somebody like that, Andy Williams. By the 80s, the percentage started to be like more and more of the light singers. But then it became the more contemporary light singers like Barry Manilow and Bette Midler and stuck in there, Helen Reddy or whoever was popular at the moment. And you started hearing less and less of the orchestrated stuff. And along with that, after the early 70s, most of these large orchestras disbanded. Like Montalbani, for instance. He continued to chart until like around 72 or so on album charts. I think the last album that Montalbani made, that he actually made, was in 73. And then after that, London Records, at the Decca in London, they would put out Montalbani. I guess he was sick or something. They would just use his name. I think Stanley Black was involved by then. He was actually doing the work.
Yep.
And he was not really involved in his own stuff. And if you bought this stuff, you could tell the difference.
Really?
In the actual Montalbani sound and these Montalbani-named albums that came out, playing more contemporary stuff from the latter half of the 70s. You could feel the difference, even if you're not an expert on it or anything. It just doesn't have that same... Yeah, and today... That's like a point that people who, you know, the few little, if you look on the line, these Montavani sites, beware of, you know, the not, you know, phony, bogus Montavani stuff. That's not the real Montavani. That's Andre Castellanos had that problem also. He got sick and he wasn't involved anymore in the early 70s, and they put out Andre Castellanos albums on Columbia that had nothing to do with him. He had no take in it at all. They just used his name.
You know, that is a similar thing happened with Martin Denny, but I think Martin Denny, as far as Exotica was concerned, I think he actually orchestrated that himself because he was so busy traveling that he didn't have time to record. So he'd get his guys in to record something. But I think that's really robbing the public. It's a bit dodgy.
Oh, yeah. It happened with a lot of performers, even... Even in the pop music field, I've read a similar thing about Fats Domino. He wasn't always available for because he was too busy for his recording session. So Ernie Freeman would do the piano rips on him, and he would just come in later and tack his voice on or something like that. And you know, people thinking it's actually Fats Domino playing his own piano.
Isn't that incredible?
I mean, he was capable of it. He just wasn't available for the instrumental part, you know. And then he would tack his, especially when I started using multi-track stuff more, you know. That became an issue.
Now, a song that you've asked me to play tonight is "Only You" by Frank Purcell, and it was a big hit.
Capitol Records,
1959, was it?
The significance of it.
Yeah.
I was thinking, the significance of that song is that is the first time, Frank Purcell is actually a French orchestra leader, very popular in France. He was never big here, although he put out albums in America I think it was on the Imperial label, but it was actually, French recordings. He was on Capitol Records in 1959, and he did the Platter song "Only You," and that's the first time you had one of these giant, lush orchestras doing a contemporary song. And he's actually got the backbeat. If you've listened, it's got the backbeat. It's got a full sound and you never heard that before, and that was a first. A year later, Percy Faith came out with the theme from A Summer Place. And that was the number one song, and that really kicked things going. It started off a whole thing of instrumentals having a contemporary sound. Although, once again, that was the people in orchestral pop land hated this. You know, they thought it was, what is this? Who's Percy Faith trying to be Fats Domino or something? Or they would actually, these are quotes, but they actually say things like this. They were very offended by it, but it was popular, and it quickly led to other albums. The 101 Strings had an album called Backbeat Symphony, which was basically classical music with a rock, doo-wop choirs and sax solos and Duane Eddy guitar riffs thrown in, and a similar thing happened on United Artists with Ferrante and Teicher after their hit the theme from The Apartment. They had an album called Dream Concerto, arranged by Don Costa, and that also had contemporary arrangements on classical stuff. Eventually, they would just have their own. They would, by the mid '60s, they started losing favor. All these orchestral popular. Their stays on the charts were lower and shorter time, and what they started doing was the show tunes that there wasn't a big anymore that many show tunes to put on albums that were very popular, and they kind of ran the gamut of playing the semi-classical stuff that they actually was loaded with, at least until the mid to late '50s. So they started playing more contemporary songs, Beatles songs or Petula Clark songs or whatever. We're filling up there. I guess the generation of people who were into this, they moved on to other things. And by the early '70s, the whole market had dried up. You still had Frank Chaxfield recording stuff for... I guess he actually recorded stuff straight from Muzak. He was big with that by the late '70s and '80s, and Ronnie Aldrich and his twin pianos were big with that. But the Percy Faiths, the Ray Conniffs, the Andre Castellanos, the Montavani, all the bigger names, Roger Williams, even Henry Mancini, they recorded less starting in the '70s and had less success. on the charts in the 70s. Times have changed, and
yeah,
the albums sell. People buying albums were, if we're going to buy an album, might as well buy the Carpenters.
Jack, it's been fantastic picking your brain about the orchestral pop, because it's a type of music that I've liked to work into the Cocktail Nation. We're going to play Frank Basile and Only You from 1959. Thanks for your time, Jack.
Oh, very good.
Thank you. Take the elevator up to Cooper's virtual penthouse. www.cocktailnation.net.
Cocktail Nation, Coop Cooper broadcasting from the penthouse here in Sydney, Montevani from his album Latin Rendezvous, Anna De Lucia. Jackie Davis before that, Love Is Just Around the Corner. Well, at least that's what my astrologer said. She also said that I need to back up my computer once a week too, at least. Don't forget the new website, www.cocktailnation.net. There's links to the show, links to my email, and Mr. Bongo, Jack Costanzo, got in touch with me this week to let me know that he has a new Bongo model out, signature Jack Costanzo model from Volcano Percussion, 7-inch and 9-inch bongos, the big ones, in beautiful rare full curly koa wood, and you can grab them from volcanopercussion.com. Here is Mr. Bongo himself in Can Can Overture on the Cocktail Nation. We'll be right back.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Cocktail Nation broadcasting across the World Wide Web and Arthur Lyman, Fire Down Under, before that Don Tiki and Bamboozled, Paramount Home Entertainment announcing that they're releasing the centennial edition of Alfred Hitchcock's To Catch a Thief coming up March 24. Cary Grant, of course, playing John Robey, the reformed jewel thief who was once known as the Cat. Fantastic film. Plenty of extras as well, including commentary by Dr. Drew Casper, who's a Hitchcock film historian. It's going to be one of my favourite films, and it is great to see it re-released. Into the music again, and Eartha Kitt, April in Portugal, the Cocktail Nation.
Portugal, à de saint idéal. Là-bas, si l'on est fou, le ciel est plus que vous. Pour un sentimental, l'amour existe-t-il ailleurs qu'au Portugal, en avril? Le soir, sous mes yeux clos, glissant au fil de l'eau, je vois au palais houblon la rive. De voiles de couleur, de lourdes parfums de fleurs, des chants de batelard, Marie. Tout ça verse mon cœur d'un rêve de bonheur dont les regrets ailleurs me suivent. L'amour devait savoir, en nous suivant le soir, que j'aimerais un jour la revoir. Avril au Portugal, à deux, c'est idéal. Si l'on est fou, le ciel est plus que vous. Mais sans penser à mal, sans que attendra-t-il que je Portugal on every. Penser à mal, sans cœur attendra-t-il que j'aille au Portugal en avril.
It's the Cocktail Nation with Coop Cooper.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
How horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Cocktailnation Coupe Cooper, Cy Zenter, I Found a New Baby. Back into the music right now, and from her brand new album, Quiet Nights, Diana Krall, and You're My Thrill.
Still. You have one message. Message one.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Take a long drink for me. Cocktail Nation.
Of socks and have them hanging out on the line. I can starch your night, 2 dozen shirts before you can count for one tonight. I can scoop up a great big dipper full of lard from the drippin's can. Throw up the skillet, go out into my shop and be back before it melts in the pan. Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I say it again. I can rub and scrub till this old house is shining like a diamond. Grease the car and powder my face at the same time. Get all dressed up, go out and swing till 4 a.m. and then lay down a fight, play till 6 and start all over again. Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. Say it again. If you come to me sickly, you know I'm gonna make you win. If you come to me all hexed up, gonna break the spell. If you're gonna be hungry, you know I'm gonna fill you full of banana bread. And it was loving you like, and I kiss you and give you the shivers. Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I say it again. I got $120 gold piece set. There ain't nothing I can do. I can make a dress out of a feed bag, and I can make a man out of you. Cause I'm
Sally Street and I'm a Woman. Raw Crown Review before that. Take a long drink for me from the album Walk on Fire. Well, that wraps up the show tonight. I look forward to your company. Next week, up high in the penthouse as we look over the city of Sydney. Next week, speaking to lounge singer Mark Copeland out of LA. And I'll leave you with the man himself and without a song. Stay hip.
Without a song, the day would never end. Without a song, the road would never bend. When things go wrong, a man ain't got a friend. Without a song, that field of corn would never see a plow. That field of corn would be deserted now. A man is born, he's no good no how. Without a song, I've got my trouble and woe, but sure as I know the Jordan will row, and I'll get along as a song strung in my soul. I'll never know what makes the grass so tall. I'll never know what makes the rain to fall. I only know there ain't no love at all. without a song. I've got my trouble and woe, but sure as I know, the Jordan will roll. And I'll get along as a song strung in my soul. I'll never know what makes that rain to fall. I'll never know what could possibly make that grass so tall. I only know